In 1949, a criminal named John Currier was sentenced to life in prison. And he began to serve out his sentence for years at a prison in Tennessee. Now, in those days, there was a program where prisoners that were on good behavior can apply to work hard labor on parole at a farm. And so, a few years into his sentence, John Currier applied for this, and he was able to get a spot to work on a farm on parole, hard labor. Now, his life was difficult. The days were long. The work was really hard. His sleeping conditions were miserable. He had to shower in a horse's trough. But in 1968, something happened. Years of being having his freedom taken away from him, his case was reviewed, and he was in fact terminated. And the good news that he was now a free man was written on a letter and sent to him. However, that letter never got to John. And so a month went by, and he is still working hard labor. That letter of good news never got to him. A year went by, and yet that letter never reached him. Not until many years later, a parole officer was reviewing different cases, and he found John Currier's case and realized, oh man, this guy never got the news. And so this parole officer found John, went to him personally, and delivered the news, telling him that you have in fact been freed. And you have been free for 10 years. So for 10 years, this man was a free man, yet he did not know it because the news never got to him. See, this story, which is the true story, shows the importance that good news arrives at its destination in a timely manner. You know, we as Christians, we have been entrusted with the greatest news in the world. Yet many of us fail to deliver that news to the people in our lives that God has put in our path. That many have been sentenced to death. And it is with good news that they can know that they have been freed and have eternal life. You see, my message today is titled, Bring Good News. Bring good news. And it is important that we are reminded and we learn this part of our Christian walk for those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, that we are also to be bringers of good news. We're going to be covering a scripture that many of you may have heard if you've been following the faith for a while. It's in Isaiah 52, verse 7 through 10. It shows up another time in scripture, but this is where it originated from. And you might know this phrase where it says, how beautiful the feet are those that bring good news. You see, as summer ends, as we enter a new season, as fall will begin, as students start going back to classes, we have many teachers in our congregation, as you guys start returning back to your classrooms, as vacations, and we are entering a new season. And I think it is very important that we remember that we are to be bringers of good news, because I believe that in this new season, God is going to bring people into your path that you are to be a deliverer of good news to them. And so we're going to read and learn from Isaiah 52, verse 7 through 10. And you guys can turn there or swipe there if you got the Bible app. And always, before we read the scriptures, I like to give you guys the context, the background, what's going on in the book of Isaiah from this scripture that we're going to read. So as you're turning there, this is the background. The book of Isaiah, it's in the Old Testament. It was written by a prophet named Isaiah. Back in those days, God spoke to the people of Israel through prophets. They were his messenger, and he would speak and deliver messages to the king, to the people, letting them know what God wants them to know. At this point in Israel's history, they miraculously came out of Egypt under slavery. They went through the wilderness. They finally established their kingdom in the promised land, and they had numerous kings already. They established their place. And so generations go by. And like any kingdom, it rises and falls on leadership. And so if there was a good king who followed the Lord, then he would lead the people to follow the Lord as well. However, if there was a bad king, if there was bad leadership, then he would lead the people to go astray. And at this point in history of when Isaiah is writing this, there was Israel as a people were going astray. They were disobeying God. They were worshiping other idols. And all the good that God had done for them, they were starting to just basically spit in God's face and forget all about that. And so Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, has two parts to it. The first part is delivering a message saying, Israel, you guys are straying from the Lord. And because you are in your disobedience to him, God is going to allow you to be conquered by other nations. That you are going to be conquered by the Assyrians and you're going to be led into exile by the Babylonians. And the amazing thing about this is that it actually happened. You see, we have the ability to look back at scripture through the lens of history. We have hindsight. But when this was written in 700 BC, it hadn't happened yet. But 100 years later, the exact things that the prophet Isaiah writes happens. They got conquered by the Assyrians. They got thrown into exile. The Babylonians took them captive. And so it proves the validity that this prophet was actually speaking the truth. Now, it wasn't all doom and gloom. That was the first part of Isaiah. The second part, he actually gives some hope. You see, he says, although you will be conquered as a nation, you'll be reduced to a stump. But from the ashes, there will be a remnant that God is going to build back up, a new Jerusalem. And in the second part of Isaiah, he starts to speak of a messianic prophecy. He introduces someone known as the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. And it is the most accurate and detailed prophecy of the Messiah. And I encourage you guys to go read it on your own time. And he says that through this Messiah, this coming suffering servant, a new kingdom of Jerusalem will be built, and he will die for you, and he will take your iniquities upon himself and renew you, and a new kingdom would be born. And so there is hope. And so this is the section where Isaiah 52, verse 7 through 10, is speaking of, that yes, there will be turmoil, but there will be hope. And so as we read these three short verses, would you bow your heads and your hearts with me as we pray? Father God, would you speak to us through this word, Lord? Lord, would you inspire us? Would you encourage us? We ask that your words would go forth and our hearts would be open to hear. Let us leave these doors different from when we walked in, more in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So starting Isaiah 52, verse 7 to 10, that was the context of what is going on in Isaiah, and this is the scripture. Starting at verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace and brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns, the voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen. Now, that first part in verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news. Yeah, like I said, this is within the context of a messianic prophecy. This was written 700 years before Jesus came onto the scene, before he was born in Bethlehem. And he's speaking of a coming Messiah. Now, again, we have the amazing lens of history to look back that Jesus actually came. And the things that Isaiah wrote about this coming Messiah, even how he would suffer, how he would die, came to pass, and Jesus fulfilled all of it. It's incredible. Now, the other place where this verse shows up is in Romans, in the New Testament. You see, Paul was a student of the scriptures. He knew the scriptures back to front, and he put it together because he lived and saw what Jesus did and encountered the risen Lord. And he put it together and realized, oh my goodness, the prophecy that Isaiah wrote 700 years ago just came to pass. It just came to pass. This is who he was talking about. And so in Romans 10, this is where most of you people who have heard this phrase before, it comes from the New Testament, when Paul says in Romans 10, verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, the good news that the prophet Isaiah was talking about 700 years ago is the good news that Jesus just accomplished. And Paul, his mind is blowing up, and he's like, oh my gosh, it's being fulfilled right now. This is the good news, the gospel. You see, the gospel, the simple definition of the gospel is good news. That's what the word good news means. And so when Isaiah wrote this 700 years ago, it's all coming together, and he's saying, this is the good news that must be preached. Now, many Christians, they read what was written in Romans, and they think, oh, you know, it's for those who preach and those who are sent, right? That's for the missionaries, and that's for the pastors. I'll let you guys handle that, right? Well, who is sent? Who is this for? And I want to clear this up and be plain and clear. If you are a Jesus follower, this is going to explain who is sent, who is called, who is to be a bearer of good news, and who is to have beautiful feet, as it says. See, if you came in here today, you got a note sheet. It helps you follow along with the message. This is your first point in your message, and this is who is supposed to bring good news. The Great Commission is for all Christians. If you call yourself a Jesus follower, you are called the same way those early disciples were called, to bring the good news. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew 28, it says this is Jesus' final marching orders before he ascended to heaven. He told his disciples, he said, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that last phrase solidifies that it is including us, that I am with you till the end of the age, because the age has not ended yet. Yet some people would say, oh, he's only speaking to those 11 disciples. But no, he's saying, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. You see, if you're a disciple, those disciples are called to make more disciples. And if you're a Jesus follower, you know what? Jesus never called his followers Christians. You know what he called them? He called them disciples. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a disciple. And full maturity into discipleship should be a disciple who makes other disciples. And so we are to be part of this Great Commission. We are to be a part of spreading this good news, the good news of the gospel. Now, this is why it's so important, and this is why I really want to hammer this in, because there is something happening in the Christian church today. A study was done by Lifeway Research, and they found that 78% of people who call themselves Christians have not shared their faith with anybody in the past 6 months. 78%. That's a lot. You see, if the last thing that Jesus told us to do was to go and make disciples, we better listen to that and go, okay, that's the scoreboard right there. Well, yeah, you know, when you follow Jesus, life is, God's going to bless you. He's going to forgive you. There's going to be a peace that falls upon you. It's going to be a great life, right? But the other part of that is you got to be a part of making disciples, right? That's kind of like joining a sports team. I talked about football a few weeks ago, right? You know what? It's like putting on all the gear, getting your helmet ready, right? On strapped up, your cleats are on, your pads are on, right? You huddle with the group, and then you break, and then you sit back on the bench, and you do nothing to contribute to scoring a goal. Christians, the goal post is to make disciples. That's the last thing Jesus told us to do. We are to make disciples. And so I want to go through Isaiah 52 and find out lessons. How can we be better at being bringers of good news? How can we be a bringer of good news? And this is the next point in your note sheet. Be a bringer of good news by publishing peace. You know, I like to try to find ways to like make the points a little more catchy and memorable in your brains. But the way it is written in the ESV is perfect the way it says. It says, beautiful upon the mountain are the feet who bring people who bring good news, who publish peace. Publish peace. That's exactly what we need to do. What does it mean to publish something? To publish something means that you're making it public, that you're making whatever it is you're publishing public information. And so what Isaiah is saying is that to be a bringer of good news, let the peace that God has given you be published. Let it be known publicly. There is a peace that falls upon a Christian. When you become a Jesus follower and the Holy Spirit falls upon you, there is a peace that falls upon you that is unexplainable. And many of you guys have experienced that. In Romans 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This word peace, when in Isaiah, it's a Hebrew word, and it's the word shalom. And shalom is the peace that God gives you. It's the completeness, it's soundness and welfare. It is the type of peace that God grants where you can go through the fire, you can run through the trials of life, you can go into the deepest of valleys, the darkest nights of the soul, and still come out on the other side saying, it is well. It's that kind of peace that God gives you. I spoke about a famous hymn writer. His name is Horatio Spafford. He wrote one of the most popular hymns sung called It Is Well. He wrote those lyrics in the darkest days of his life. He had just lost his three daughters in a shipwreck. And here he was passing over the same waters where his daughters passed away and drowned. And it is in this moment that he writes and pens the words of this hymn that is still sung today, It Is Well With My Soul. That kind of peace, that kind of shalom is unexplainable. And that's why in Philippians 4 it says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's beyond all understanding, this type of peace. And it is this type of peace that the world needs now more than ever. There is so much turmoil. There is so much disruption to peace in life today. And it is this peace that needs to be shared and made public. In World War II, there was a lieutenant on the Japanese side of the army named Hiro Onoda. And he was a soldier in the Imperial Japanese Army. And in this point of the war, the Japanese had invaded the Philippines, my family's home country. And Lieutenant Onoda arrives on an island called Lumbang. And there is word that the momentum is shifting in the war. The Allies, the U.S., they're gaining momentum and gaining ground, and there is word that they are soon to try to retake the Philippines from the Japanese. And so Lieutenant Onoda and his company, they get orders to evacuate the island. And so they begin to start a retreat. However, Lieutenant Onoda's commanding officer gives him one final order. He tells him, we're all going to go, but I want you to stay on the island. So you're a specialist in guerrilla warfare, and so I want you to stay and wait for the Americans to come and do guerrilla warfare, sabotage their efforts. And he says this to him, and he quotes, it may take 3 years, it may take 5 years, but whatever happens, we will come back for you. And so Lieutenant Onoda does that. He stays on the island, and he begins his mission that his commanding officer told him to perform sabotage actions in the jungles. But something happens. In August 15th, 1945, the Japanese surrender. And the Japanese involvement in the war is over. However, that news never reaches Lieutenant Onoda, who is in the jungles of the Philippines. And months go by, and he's still performing sabotage actions. And years go by, and he's terrorizing the local population. He's stealing their cattle and taking the rice. They just learned how to live with it. And a decade goes by, and he's still in the jungle. fighting a war. Not until an adventurer in Japan hears rumors that there is still a soldier in the jungles of the Philippines fighting. And so he makes his way and treks through the jungles of the Philippines to find this soldier, and he finds Lieutenant Onoda. It has been 29 years since the war has ended. And finally, in 1974, Lieutenant Onoda leaves the jungle of the Philippines and returns home to Japan. You see, he was fighting a war that was over. There was peace for decades, yet he was at war, and he was battling every day. That is how many people are in the world today, that they are battling, and they are in a struggle, and they're fighting a war that has already been won. They just need to hear the good news and accept it, that Jesus Christ has defeated the grave, that you are free from sin, that there is no more, that there is victory in Jesus. And it just needs to be communicated to them, and they need to accept those words. See, communicating and publishing peace is what we need to do to be bearers of good news. The second thing that we can learn from this scripture to be bearers of good news is to talk about the good things. You see, the next part in verse 7 of Isaiah says, "He who brings good news of happiness." The Hebrew word here is tobi, which means pleasant and agreeable and good. And so really what this is saying is blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, who brings good news of good things. You know, we have good things in our life that we talk about and we publish and we share to many people all the time, right? We just, this past week, I have some friends that just got married. And guess what they're doing? They're publishing their marriage. They are posting it, and they're talking about it on social media, showing they're celebrating. It's good news, right? I got a text message from a friend this past week. They're expecting a kid. That's great news. See, these are the news, the good things that they're talking about, that you're sharing. There are good things that God has done in your life. There are good things that God has done, that amazing things. Talk about them. Share them. Let people know about the good that God has done in your life. And it's not to boast about you. It is to boast in the Lord. This past week, we partnered with the Salvation Army. There's a homeless shelter a few miles from here. And one of the ways that we partner with them is that we go and celebrate the birthdays of those in the shelter. You see, people in the homeless shelter there, they're down and out. Some of them are struggling with addictions. They're at the lowest low, and the Salvation Army is really trying to help them get back on their feet. And one of the ways that we just want to encourage them is by simply celebrating their birthdays. Many of them nobody has celebrated their birthdays or given a gift or anything. So we go there, we bring cake, we give them gift cards. We just love on them. And I'm going to brag on someone today, someone from our church. His name's Chip. If you guys don't know him, he's in the back over there. When we were there, I asked him if he would share some of the good things that God has done in his life to the people here. And we captured it on camera, and there's a cool video that Austin cut of it. And I wanted to show you what happened last week. So turn your eyes to the screen.
Wow, well, welcome, everybody. We're all here from City Church, and we just wanted to spread God's love to you guys. Hey, how you doing? I'm Obi. Raphael, pleasure to meet you, sir.
I was once in your guys' place. I ended up in an awesome recovery group with a bunch of Christians that prayed over me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God changed me, you know, 180 degrees to a new person. I want to encourage you all, just keep moving forward and submit yourselves to God, and He'll change your life and give you a new life. I mean, He did it for me, He can do it for you.
No matter how far we wander, no matter how bad we have it, if we reach the bottom of the barrel, God will always take you back. He wants to welcome you home with arms wide open and give you the biggest birthday hug and give you the best gift of any gift, which is the free gift of salvation.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chip, for letting me share that. You know, I put him on the spot there. I just asked, hey, you want to share what God has done in your life? And he said, yeah, sure, I'd love to do it. And he just simply shared the good that God has done, how he turned his life around. See, it is sharing the good things that God has done. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Proclaim his excellencies. God is doing some excellent things, and he did it, some excellent things in Chip's life, and he proclaimed it to the people there of how God took him out of darkness into marvelous light. And it is this kind of sharing of the good things in our life that God has done that will help make your feet beautiful, that you will be a bearer of good news. And ultimately, the main thing is so that we can share salvation. And this is the next point, is be a bringer of good news by sharing salvation. That is the ultimate goal, is to share salvation. And after Chip shared, I was able to give the gospel to them and lead them through the prayer of salvation. You know, as I was studying this verse in the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew. And Isaiah, he writes, beautiful are the feet of those who publish salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. That word, salvation, in the Hebrew, is a word, and it is pronounced Yeshua. Yeshua. This was written 700 years before Jesus came. Do you know what Jesus' name is in Hebrew? It's not pronounced Jesus. It's pronounced Yeshua. Yeshua. And so 700 years before Jesus came onto the scene, Isaiah is saying, publish Yeshua. Make public Yeshua. Talk about Yeshua. And Jesus comes 700 years later. He is Yeshua. He is salvation. And he brings salvation to the world. You see, this is the good news. I'm going to sum it up. The gospel of Jesus Christ is this. And it can be found real soon in many places in the Bible, but Romans 6:23 sums it up. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, Yeshua, our Lord. You know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Starting from Adam, that first sin trickled down to every single one of us, and all of us have failed to meet the mark of holiness, of righteousness. And it is because of sin that we cannot be connected to God, because he is holy and we're not. He's righteous, pure, and we are not. No matter if you just told a little lie or thought a little bad thought or you killed somebody, both disqualify you from holiness, from righteousness, and any kind of sin cannot be a part of a holy, righteous God. And so God came up with the most ingenious rescue plan, and he sent his son Jesus to live as a human, and he is the only human in history to have lived a perfect life, perfect, righteous life. And instead of reaping the rewards of righteousness, what he did was he sacrificed his righteousness for you and I. And he said, you know what, that sin penalty of death that I deserve, that you deserve, Jesus said, I'm going to pay for it with my righteousness. And instead, I'm going to give you freely my righteousness to you if you accept it. And because of that, we can be connected to God the Father in eternity, because he sees us through Christ Jesus' righteousness. That is the gospel. That Christ Jesus came to die and save us. That salvation is free. That is the good news of the gospel of salvation. And that is the good news that we need to share. That is the good news that Isaiah was talking about in the Old Testament that came to fruition through Jesus 700 years later. The last point that I want you to write down is this. Be a watchman who acts on what they see. Be a watchman. You see, in verse 8 of Isaiah 52, it says, the voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice together. They sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord Zion,
that Lord designed. Break forth together into singing, you waste place of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. So be a watchman. What does it mean to be a watchman? In Old Testament times, what a watchman's task was, they were to stand up on the city gates, and they were to look out into the horizon to see if there's any threats coming. And they're the first people to notice if there was something coming, and they were the first people to go and notify and warn people. They were the watchmen of the city, right? But there's another task that they had too. You see, in times of battle and war, when your army leaves the city, they go forth into the battlefield. And nobody knows what the outcome of the battle is. But the watchmen, they stand on the city gates and they look. And if they see over the horizon an enemy soldier approaching, then they know that their army lost. And they would go, their hearts would sink, and they would go to the city and warn the people that we're about to be under siege, to get ready. But if they look out into the horizon and they see one of their own walking over and coming back, then their hearts explode with joy because they know that their army won the victory. And they are the first people to rejoice. They are the first ones to know the good news. And then they go throughout the city spreading the good news that all can rejoice and know that their army has been victorious, that they have won. That's what it means to be a watchman. That you would be the first person to rejoice and sing praises to God, and that you would lead others to do the same. Be a watchman. I want to end with a story of a guy named Don Ritchie. Don Ritchie, he bought his dream home in 1964 in Sydney, Australia. It was overlooking the Pacific Ocean, and it was across the street from a very famous spot called The Gap. And it is a sea cliff that overlooks the Pacific Ocean. It was beautiful, magnificent. It was his dream home. And right in his front window, he had the best view, the most picturesque view. It's like he was looking at a painting. And so every morning he would get his tea, and he would drink his tea looking out the window at this beautiful view. But he soon realized that the place across the street from his house that he was looking at, known as The Gap to the locals there, was popular for a different reason. You see, The Gap was a sheer cliff fall off into the ocean rocks below. And people found that spot to be a popular spot for them to end their life. And so it was a known suicide spot. And as the ambulance sirens and the police cars became more and more frequent in front of his house, Don Ritchie realized he needed to do something about this. And so Don became a watchman. And so as he was having his tea, he would look out and he would spot people. And he began to recognize, even just from the posture of somebody, if they were distressed, if there was someone thinking about doing the unthinkable. And he was a watchman, but he acted. If he saw someone that looked in distress, like they might be depressed or they might be thinking about ending their life, what he would do is he would cross the street and he would approach them in conversation, and he would always ask them this one question: do you want to have some tea? And he would invite them over, and they would come over to his house, and he would have tea with these people. And they would start to spill their guts, and he would talk them and to them and encourage them not to do what they wanted, came there to do. And he talked a lot of people out of jumping off that cliff. Out of the 45 years that he lived in that spot, it is confirmed that he talked 160 people from jumping off that cliff and committing suicide. And some are saying that it's more likely around 400. Even a person that he saved, that he talked from committing suicide, they returned to him and got him a gift. And the gift was a painting that said, "Angel of the Gap." And that name stuck for him. And he gained recognition. And even the government of Australia and many other organizations gave him awards for doing what he did to save people. Because he was a watchman. He saw an opportunity to do something. and he did it. See, likewise, this next season, as you enter it, be a watchman. Be a watchman and then act. Because I believe that God is going to bring opportunities. He's going to bring people into your path that you are going to be able to be a bearer of good news. That there, an opportunity will show up and arise in your life where you get to share the peace that God has given you. Where you get to share the good things that God has given you that you can encourage someone else. Where you get to share salvation with other people. You see, it is the goal of the Christian walk, to be a disciple that makes disciples. See, I want to end with this. This was an amazing thing that I realized while I was studying for this scripture, is that in Isaiah it said that how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news. In those days, your feet were the most disgusting part of you because you wore sandals and you walked in the dirt and it was disgusting. And so for him to say, no, even if you bring, even if your feet are disgusting, if you bring good news, they are not. They are the most beautiful part of you. And I put it together. Do you know what Jesus did at the Last Supper for the disciples? He washed their feet. He washed the most disgusting part of them. The most gross part of a human in those days. Jesus got down on his knees and washed every single disciple's feet. And he made them clean. You see, that's what Jesus does. That if you allow Jesus to come into your life, he will wash your feet. He will take the most disgusting, the most shameful, the most part of you that you don't want to show to other people, that you regret. He will take that and he will make it a beautiful thing because Jesus is the God that redeems the broken. And not only that, he will allow you to be a bearer of good news, to bring others to know him. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God that redeems. You are the God that redeems the broken, the shameful. You redeem the most regretful things that we have done. You redeem the sin that we have committed. Lord, we thank you so much for your salvation you have given and offered to us. God, we ask that you would open up our eyes so that we can see who it is in our lives that you want us to share this good news with. Lord, would you let us be, as Isaiah said, people with beautiful feet bearing good news. You know, if you heard this message and that good news is striking a chord in your heart, God wants you to experience that peace that he offers. God wants you to experience the good things that he offers to you. God wants you to experience the salvation. And most importantly, he wants you to experience righteousness that allows you to have eternal life with him. And that is through accepting the good gift of salvation through Jesus. And if you want to accept that right now, just pray this simple prayer. See, prayer is just talking to God. And so let your heart honestly speak to God. And I want to guide you in this prayer. Just say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Lord, I want you to be the leader of my life. Holy Spirit, would you live inside of me? Make me new. I love you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.